You're listening to My Wedding Season, the podcast. I'm your host, Ida Glovic. I photograph intimate weddings and elopements in Europe. This is the show where I provide overwhelmed wedding photographers with the inspiration, tools, and resources needed to build a thriving brand and business. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of My Wedding Season, the podcast. I hope that you enjoyed the holidays. I spent a few days in the Netherlands and Belgium, and I'm happy to be back in Germany to kick things off properly this spring. I am super excited for today's episode with Carolina Gusick. She's a very talented wedding photographer and podcaster based in Miami. If you've been trying to figure out the most optimal way to create content for your wedding photography business, this episode is definitely for you. Back in the day, it was common to simply blog a wedding with the best images and a short story about the couple in the day. The new way of blogging is to provide valuable information to potential and future clients. More on this in today's episode. But first, a quick word from the sponsor of the podcast, PickTime.
PickTime is an advanced online gallery platform for photographers offering beautiful galleries, a built-in print store, marketing automation, a slideshow creator, and blogs. They are enhancing their services using AI technology. Depending on the plan, you can use the AI writing assistant for blogs, AI image filter, and AI photo search for clients. If you've been tuning into this podcast long enough, you already know that I'm a huge fan of creating SEO-optimized content in the form of blogs to attract potential clients. PickTime now allows you to easily use your images that are already uploaded in a gallery to create a blog post. And then, with just a few clicks, you can easily generate SEO-optimized text for your blog. Don't worry about it sounding machine-generated because you can always go in and make changes for it to sound like you. It is just there to assist you in the process. And now, you also have the ability to quickly filter through images in your galleries. This is particularly helpful when you want to share images with vendors after wedding. Or you can use it to select images to share on social media. Make sure you check out their newly revamped mobile app. Your clients are now also able to search through the gallery to find people or by using keywords. This feature allows them to easily share images and has proven to increase the likelihood of print orders because it is directly linked to the store. And the cool thing is that multiple languages are supported, including Spanish, French, German, and Portuguese. When you're ready to upgrade to a paid plan to gain access to all these features, be sure to use the code AIDA, A-I-D-A, to earn 1 month free.
Cool. Carolina, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It's been a long time coming, and I am super excited that we're making it work.
I am so excited to be here chatting with you.
So great. Hey, I know a lot of people know you because you're so active on social media, but for those who are getting to know you today, can you just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about Carolina and your work. That'd be amazing.
Awesome. So my name is Carolina Gusick. I'm a wedding and family photographer based in Miami, Florida. I've been doing this for well past 10 years, maybe close to 15. I don't even know how old am I. So I can't keep track.
It doesn't matter. You know the industry in and out right now.
I feel like this is almost like dog years. I feel so old.
And you look incredible. Look at you. You have that baby face, which I feel like I do too. So those cheeks and those eyes.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment. And a couple of years into my business, I was sharing a lot of tips with my fellow photographers. So I was like, well, let's create a podcast. So I created the Talk Republic, which is a podcast where I share marketing and, you know, information for photographers. You were a guest on the podcast a couple of episodes ago, so it's always good to connect.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to get on. And to be honest, you're like one of the first photographers I knew who had a podcast. Ooh, and nice. Yeah, I was reflecting back on how I got to know you. And if I'm not mistaken, like I had created a Facebook group ages ago and then you joined. I don't know if you remember this.
Probably.
Yeah, but because, I mean, this Facebook group does not I don't think exists anymore. It's just like, and I remember you asking like me if you could like talk about your podcast, like if you can post about it. And I was like,
Well, at
cool.
least I'm polite.
You are very polite. And that just came to me today, but I'll try to dig it out and then share it with you because that was my first introduction to you. And I'm so glad that years later that I've seen your growth and everything you've been doing. It's been amazing, really.
Thank you. I do feel like it's like I feel like I know you, even though we never met, because I feel like we've been connected for a couple of years. I think that we got more into DMs like on the pandemic. I think that that's when we were like at our peak of our conversation.
That's right. It happened to a lot of people. But hey, we're here today to talk all things content creation. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know, like your forte. You are on your game. You do it so well. And I'm sure like we're all gonna learn from you. I'm excited to learn from you. And yeah, let's just kick it off by like,
thank you.
A pleasure. By explaining, if you can just differentiate for us what content creation looks like today, and like in the aspect of like websites. Like we're not talking about content creators on social media, but as mm-hmm. wedding photographers, when we're creating content on our websites, what does that look like in 2024?
So I think that if you had a website for a long time and now you're comparing, nowadays, I think that is more important to use, you know, the wedding photos that we, you know, that we create for clients, right? And instead of just kind of like showcasing those clients, meaning, for example, blogging, oh, the wedding and Susie and Max, it was beautiful. It was amazing. I had a great time. Here are 20 images. Use those images to actually give information to future clients. What does that mean? Maybe you can talk about the venue. Maybe you can talk about, I don't know, maybe some tradition that they broke, right? When you have those weddings where they, you know, the couple wears like a complete different unexpected attire. You can be like, oh my God, this could be so inspirational for people, right? Because even though we want to break tradition, I think some of the wedding traditions are very engraved in our brains, right? And we're like, oh, no, it has to be this specific way. So when you have a client that really breaks the norms, instead of being like, oh, this wedding was lovely, be like, oh, this is how you can break norms and still look cool. Or this is how they did it and they didn't upset their families. Or this is how they did it and upset their families, but still they get married.
Right.
What have you. So like create, you know, what's the word that I'm looking for? Not content, but like create, you know, information that is going to serve other couples, is going to inspire other couples, is going to make other couples maybe think a little bit outside the box, or just inspiration. So that's the way that I create content in my website for future clients.
That makes sense. And I mean, I would say the first step, it would just make sense to actually know what kind of clients you're trying to attract, right?
Correct.
Because, yeah, that dictates the type of content that you're going to go ahead and create. So you are in the luxury space, is that right? A little bit.
Kind of. I think that I am in the
premium. Your clients are a bit fancy. I like them. You know, they're well dressed. You know, they like
yeah.
style.
It is really interesting. What we think is luxury compared to like other people. I always like, you know, compared to perhaps, you know, somebody that is just starting out that is shooting weddings at like the courthouse, maybe they see my weddings and they're like, oh no, they're luxury. But compared to like people that are spending $2 million on a wedding, they're just like, oh, they're just nice. So I think it is a perception, but number wise, I would say that I'm on what is called a premium market. I'm a little bit above average, but not into the super luxury yet. But you know, beautiful weddings. Again, people, my clients are spending probably $250,000 per wedding, which is insane to consider. They're just like a premium and not like luxury.
Listen, that is super premium. That's like next level, high level premium in my eyes, because I'm in a completely different market in Germany,
yeah,
where the tradition of weddings is like the budget is not that high.
Mm-hmm.
The the values are just different, which is totally fine. So 250,000 in Germany, that is next level, trust me. We don't see that around here.
Perceptions, you know, right? Perceptions are really, you know, really interesting. Miami's a very flashy city. So imagine thinking that $250 is just like, not normal, but just like, okay, a little nice wedding.
It was crazy. No, definitely. I mean, but that's what I just wanted to bring to the forefront, because for you, when you want to speak to couples that are getting married like this in Miami, you know, you could also be making content in terms of like style and breaking norms. And that could definitely be working for you, where I would just assume for me, that wouldn't work. So I'd have to think about, okay, you know, the type of clients that book me, what are they actually after? And also, I'm thinking about when I create content, I want it to be discovered on Google. So that is one of my main aims. Like,
well, that is the main aim.
Yeah, but also I would say, you know, I think it also has value once they have found you, when they find more content.
Correct.
They're like, oh my God, this photographer really knows what they're talking about. They're really providing value. So I think there are different levels of the value that we can find from creating content. But of course, the initial one is actually being found, right?
Correct. Yes. Like, I mean, yes, my clients already know me. That's fabulous. Yes, probably they're going to refer me to their friends. That's lovely. But at the end of the day, I need more eyes, right? So let's say for one client that I book, again, funny because I live in Miami, and even though this is a huge city, the majority of my clients are out of town people. So they're coming to get married in Miami. I would say that 85 to 90% of my clients are from out of town. They come from New York. They come from Chicago. So there's like these, you know, cities that perhaps are a little bit too cold and they want to party hard during, you know, Christmas break. So Miami is always hot. And it's like, okay, a little vacation that is still, it's very tropical, but it's still, quote unquote, is local to them. Right. So let's say that I get a client that is from Chicago. The chances of me photographing her friends' weddings in Chicago are very slim, because I don't travel for weddings. Like, that's my choice. I don't like to travel for weddings. So I have to, for one client that she's going to refer, I have to create content to expose my brand to like 50 other possible clients that perhaps want to book me. So I need to be very strategic to what I do. So the lowest hanging fruit, and this could apply for any market that you are in, or any, whether you're luxury, premium, you know, nice weddings, what have you, is start with like the venues that you like to work at. If you create content about those venues, most of the clients that you want to work with will find you, right? So what goes into creating that content? Well, literally talk about the venue. Start with like the facts, location, at what time do they close, capacity, how many spaces do they offer, do they have a nice getting ready room, do they have any restrictions with vendors, then talk about the spaces, what makes this place really cool for photos. Maybe talk about like, it is so centrally located that if you're traveling from out of town, it's going to be really easy to find hotels around this location for your guests. So all these questions can apply to any level of on the market that you are. If you're just starting out and you're photographing, you know, I don't know, whatever you're photographing, you can talk about those venues. And also whenever you want to move up a little bit on the market, you can start aiming for venues that perhaps you haven't worked at, but you can still feature, because you can still go to the venue, talk to the sales person, be like, hey, could I take a couple of photos? You can take just like, you know, room shots or, you know, space shots, and then write an article. Like, you don't even have to have had a wedding yet to write an article. Obviously, if you have wedding photos, it's going to be so much better. And the more images you have that you can add to this post, probably is going to perform better, just because people need visuals. And if you have 3-4 different weddings at that venue that look different, it can give a lot of inspiration. But there is venues that I haven't photographed that I would love to, and I created articles and they rank really high on Google. So you're just like putting yourself out there.
You literally like answered my questions, because I was going to say, hey, super easy if we've already had a wedding there, you know, you have that content ready to go. But if it's like a venue that is especially maybe above the market and you're trying to get into it, like how do you go about that? Like how it's also a process of maybe creating a relationship with the venue, right? Reaching out to them and then getting that done. And it takes a lot of, you know, you have to be proactive to make it happen.
You do. Yeah, yeah. Also, if you reach out to a venue and they don't reply to you, I mean, you can still find information online if you're really looking forward to, you know, to create an article about that. If somebody says no, then don't take it personal. You pivot, you go somewhere else. There is, I mean, how many venues are in your city? At a minimum, 10. At a minimum,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's true. So, it's true. It's, yeah, I mean, I've seen on your website, because I was looking around just to get a feel for what you do. And like, I've really seen how you create those venue-based guides, which totally makes sense. And then obviously when you add images from couples in there, it makes it just so much easier for new couples, potential clients, to visualize themselves. And then they also see how you work. And that you know the spots that are great for photos. It just makes them feel so much more comfortable to know that, okay, we are in trusted hands.
Yeah, yeah. You have to always lean into what the client is looking for, right? So if I have a client that contacts me, or a future client that contacts me, and they're like, oh, we're going to get married at, let's say, Villa Woodbine, which is a venue that I have photographed probably over 20 weddings. Then I'm like, absolutely. I love the venue. I know every single tiny spot in that space. And if I get a future client and they contact me about a venue that I have never worked at, then I will be, it is lovely. I will do a walkthrough, but I have new eyes for this venue. So you will get amazing photos. So like, you have to, you know, make it work for you. You can't just be like, no, I have never photographed there and I'm really afraid of going that. No, you have to like be proactive. And if they're concerned about it, just be like, I'm going to do a walkthrough. So I'm going to scout the location before we get there. But trust me, I have photographed in venues that are similar, and then you can lean into that. So for example, if they're asking me if I have photographed, let's say there are several museums in Miami, right? Like, oh, X museum or what have you. Then I'd be like, no, I haven't photographed there, but I have photographed at this other museum. So you can see some similarities on like the content. So you always have to be, you always have to be on your toes to like answer those questions.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I always say that they just want to be sure that they can trust you.
Correct.
And obviously don't embellish something that you can't do. Like if you don't have the skills to handle a wedding day where anything
absolutely
can happen,
yes.
You can actually mess up someone's wedding and let's not be doing that, right? But
yeah,
if
yeah,
you,
no,
really
you have to be secure
skills,
in your, yes, you have to be secure in what you can, your ability to perform.
Yeah. And of course, after over 10 years, like you, you know what you're doing, but
I'm still learning every day, still learning. Actually, just yesterday, I was chatting with a friend of mine because now I see that a lot of people use like a hand flash, not like on camera. And I was like,
I've never done
that. I've worked with other photographers who, you know, who've done it. I used to work with this. He used to be my second shooter all the time and he used to do it. And I'm like, my arm hurts. But now I see a lot of people doing it. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I need to go and work out on my arms because it seems like it's, you know, very in right now to give like that direct flash. But you can, since it's in your hand, you can like move it and give some dimension to it. So you always have to keep learning.
Yeah. So once we create this type of content, obviously, what we don't want is for people to read it, get that knowledge, and bounce, right? So there must be some
Correct.
Sort of call to action. Like, how are you integrating that in a way that feels organic enough, but yet, hey, I'm your girl.
That's a great point. Whatever content that you create on your website, especially, should have a call to action. You don't want to lead people into a dead end. A dead end is a post that has beautiful photos, beautiful content, and you come to the end and there is nothing, right? People will argue with you and say like, well, they can just go to the contact. They can just go to the menu. That's extra things that people have to think about. We don't want them to think technically. We just want to give them everything. So at the end of the call, I said, actually, let me open my website so I can tell you exactly what it says at the end of any of these blog posts.
Yeah,
I think it says, looking for a wedding photographer, let's chat, with a button to like contact me.
Yeah.
And that button goes to my contact form. In addition to that, I have another line that says, don't leave yet, take a look at these love stories that get inspired. And I have three different blog posts attached to that main blog post that are similar, right? So for example, if it's a wedding guide about a garden venue, I'm going to have at least one more garden venue as an additional love story. Perhaps I'm going to have a guide for engagement sessions, because I'm assuming if they're looking for a venue, they're most likely going to like an engagement session. And perhaps I threw a curveball in there and I add a venue on the beach. I'm like, maybe they're looking for a garden venue, but maybe they haven't thought about the beach. So here is maybe some inspiration. So now I give them three options for them to stay on my website, right? So once they click on that, there is information about whatever they see. And then at the end of the day, a call to action and three other posts. So the goal is to create, this is called breadcrumbs. It's to create a lot of, you know, breadcrumbs throughout your website so people don't leave. I mean, eventually, at some point, people are going to leave.
But you're not going to tie them down for a lifetime.
Exactly. But you want to make sure that there is enough information for them to be like, I have been on this website for a while. I love the photos. She's giving great content. I feel comfortable with this person. That's what you want. So that is good for SEO because people are spending longer times on your website. That is a trigger for Google to be like, oh, the content is good because people are spending enough time. There is also brand awareness because the more, you know, the longer they read about you or they, you know, they interact with your images, most likely the most they're going to like you. And then the last thing is you position yourself as an expert. So you're not only providing inspiration, but also you're giving enough content and good content for them to feel secure into like, oh, this person seems that she knows what she's talking about. Maybe let's contact her. So that is the goal of a website, to get enough information, to give enough inspiration for them to go into the next level. It doesn't guarantee that I'm going to finalize a booking, right? Because I can mess it up on the discovery call, right? Or maybe we get on the discovery call and we realize that they probably love the photos, but they don't like me or vice versa. And that's fine. But, you know, most of the
that's the next phase situation, right? Correct. This is the first phase and absolutely optimizing it to the best of your abilities. And one of my main takeaways also that I never thought about is, you know, the suggested post that you talked about at the bottom, that you are intentionally selecting which post, end up there, because I've always had this kind of automatic plugin, which is like, here's the next thing. Like, it never occurred to me to be more strategic and intentional about that. So like, that's a major gem right there.
A lot of people has the automatic thing, and a lot of people also have just next and preview blog posts, just the titles, no images. Might actually have an image and a title. So I'm a photographer. Yes, I need a lot of like text on my website, but the photos have to be good. Like, the first thing that needs to grab their attention has to be the photo, then the title. So, you know, make sure that you do that. And yes, be intentional about it. If, let's say, for example, I photograph families, I rarely blog families. But if you were to go to my blog library right now, the latest post is my favorite photos of 2023. And the blog post before that was the best locations in Miami for family photos. Imagine if they're like all excited about all these amazing photos they're looking. They're like, oh my God, I love this photographer. And then don't leave yet. Check out a family. Like, I killed
it. It wouldn't make sense.
I killed the vibe.
Yeah. No, I'm learning right here. That just totally makes sense. You know, I think we just have to be so strategic with everything that we do and not just leave it up to it being random, because that way you can just really lead people for it to be, you have to be the absolute logical choice, you know, like if someone's looking for a photographer in Miami for those type of weddings, I mean, once they've landed on your website, once they've inquired with you, they need to be like, we have to have Carolina.
Correct.
Like, I think isn't that the end goal, right?
That is the end goal, but there's like a lot of micro steps to get there. So with content creation, what I want is to put my brand in front of people that are going to Google to search for like Miami wedding or a Miami wedding photographer or a particular venue. Like, I want to make sure that they see me everywhere. And once they get to my website, that I create enough content. It's very important, the curation of the images. I think that's a big thing for us, especially even for me. Sometimes there's images that we absolutely love, but they're not the images that are going to sell the best. And we need to be very aware of that. Like, what are the images that we are curating? And then obviously when we write our content, does it sound like us? Yeah. Is it like, actually, is this the tone that we want to use for this post? So all that has to make sense for you to, at the end of the day, get the client. So as you can see, a lot of micro steps.
Absolutely. So like, I mean, what I was hearing from what you said before is like, you rely quite heavily on being found, especially through Google, right? Like, because a lot of your clients are coming as a destination wedding in Miami. It's not necessarily the word of mouth that's working for you, but more the discoverability organically. Is that
correct?
True?
Yes, that is true, but I don't leave anything behind. I understand that relationships with vendors is crucial. So like, I have a really good network of, you know, vendors, wedding planners, venues, you know. I want to be in every single venue list in Miami. I do. In every single venue that I like. Okay, so let's
and
that.
I will take this moment to be like, go to the Talk Republic. That's her podcast. And you have an amazing episode on getting on vendor lists, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I do.
I've listened to that one and I was just like, I need to learn and do, you know.
So that is important because I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, right? I do put a lot of effort into social SEO because I don't own social media. Things could happen. Accounts get hacked all the time. So I want to make sure that
are happening. I mean, I don't know about your reach, but my reach is, it's never been good, but now it's like non-existent. I'm just kind of living out there.
I have for like my wedding photography, I would say that reach is good, but like for the Talk Republic, who knows? We don't know her.
I don't know, but like I use Instagram more, at least from with the hashtags. The SEO of Instagram is what works for me. I'll just put it out there. It's not about, you know, building this amazing brand and following. No, I'm just like, local hashtags, local, you know, the venues that I want to be found at. And then that actually does work, but in terms of reach, forget
correct.
It.
Correct. So we need to play, you know, you can't just put all your eggs in one basket. So let's say Instagram, we do that. Then obviously those relationship with local vendors, right? A wedding has at a minimum 10 different vendors. Are you friends with them? Are you connecting with them? Are you creating blog posts about them? I have a blog post about like the best planners in Miami. I had a couple of unique articles about like a specific vendors. I used to do that a lot at the beginning of my photography career because I'm like, I don't know people and I want to get into the radar. So I just pitch myself kind of like as a reporter to a lot of people. I'm like, hey, I'm a photographer, but I want to write an article about your business. Who's going to say no to free advertisement? I mean, yes, some people say no, but in general, like that's a
which
risk
is a bit weird, but yeah, I mean, that's huge, especially if you want to work with planners. I would say what better way, especially if you even offer to take their photos that they could be using and just building up on that. And I think it's like a long-term game. I'm sure there's some people who are just kind of thinking, oh, what do I get in return right away and everything. So if you're a bit short-sighted, it's probably not the way to go. But if you're really trying to build something, and even if something doesn't necessarily come back, just putting out that goodwill, doing it, I think goes a long way.
These are things that is definitely a long-run thing. If you, like, I remember when I first created certain articles for specific vendors. So it was a florist, it was a cake designer. That took years for them to refer me clients.
Yeah.
years. That was like the first thing. I was just like, hey, let me write about this. And then each networking event that I had an opportunity to go to, I go and we chatted and how's family. And then Instagram came along. Imagine, this is how all my business is. That I was like, Instagram wasn't even available then.
Instagram came
along and you start like chatting with them on Instagram, liking their photos. And then they're like, oh, here are some clients. So this is not going to happen overnight. And this is also not for the faint of hearted. You said at the beginning, like, oh, you create this content and it's so great. There's many, many days of the month that I'm just like, I want to do it anymore. I want to tap out. The reality. But then you have to push through it. You know, that's the part that I see of my job that I do have to push myself to make it happen. If I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. I am a business of one. I wear all the hats, probably like the majority of people that listen to your podcast. And there is days when if I want to take a day off, I take a day off and I don't force it. But I do have my monthly tasks, which are only three. I have to blog for SEO at least once a month.
Yeah.
And then from that piece of content, I create content for other platforms. So for example, this month I did my favorite wedding photos of 2023, right? That was a massive article. It took me weeks because to go through like all the photos of 2023, it was a lot. I'm not gonna sugarcoat
it. I've seen it. And I was just like, whoa, you know, but I know how hardworking you are. So it did not surprise me. I was like, this is Carolina on her thing.
That's a lot of work. I'm not gonna just post that as a blog post and walk away from it. No.
You have to milk that as far as it goes.
So now I have to break that into several Instagram posts. Now I have to use those photos to, when I go and give reviews to vendors, use those images. Now I have to see how do I repurpose this content in other ways. So like my hard work, you know, is not only used once.
Yes, I hear you. I want to just circle back. Like, did you say reviews for vendors?
Yes.
Can you expand on that? Because I'm sure, I mean, I have heard of people writing reviews for venues and stuff, but like, are you writing like Google reviews for all the vendors that were at the wedding?
I write Google reviews for every vendor that was nice to me.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Obviously.
If there is a vendor that I'm just like, whatever, I'm not gonna write a bad review, but I'm just not gonna,
just
like,
gonna skip it.
Exactly. But yes, I mean, write a review for the planner, write a review for the makeup artist, write a review for the florist, and then use your photos in that review.
Yeah.
Like, so if genius. Something, you know, like you do it. I mean, I do it because I want to build relationships, right?
Yeah,
I want to make sure that I'm like, I really love you and I want to give you all the exposure that I can. What's best exposure than a 5-star review? Nothing else. But also, when people are looking at reviews and they see my name and they see my photos, maybe they like me. Maybe they go to my website. Like, I'm leaving breadcrumbs all over the internet.
Girl, do you sleep? Like, do you sleep with all this work?
9 hours a day.
I'm amazed because even I see, like, you know, you do education for photographers. I see you like always having stuff going on in your Patreon, which you can feel free to really talk about here. And I'm just like, she is on it. Like, are you working with like a proper like content calendar to do? Like, how are you structuring that? Like, it's a bit off topic, but I'm curious to hear.
Okay, so I have to be honest and say I don't have children. So I have perhaps more time in my day for my business, right? I don't have to watch after little people. I don't have to make lunches for, you know, kids. I don't have to do anything like that. So honestly, I do have time. Now, the second thing is, like, if you are a parent, you do have then to schedule things and you have to respect your schedule. I don't over schedule. As I mentioned, I have literally a calendar with like 3 major things that I need to get accomplished in a month.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think of my business as if I were, I put the employee hat, to be honest. I said, well, my boss will fire me if I don't get this done.
Who's the boss? Myself and I.
So like, I would say, like, if this was a job, right?
Yeah.
That I have a boss, if I don't do 1 monthly article, I would get fired. So like, I have to sit and give myself an hour or 2 hours
yeah.
to analyze what I'm going to write about, do some research. Is this going to be good? Is this, because sometimes also I'm like, oh my God, I think this is going to be great. And then I'm like, nobody's looking for that. It's not going to be great. I'm not going to waste my time. I want to utilize keywords that people are really looking for. So I have to sit down and I have to schedule it. That's the reality of it. I am not super strict. I think that I should perhaps be a little bit more strict, but that works for me. Having my 3 goals per month that are going to be very strategic. And then I just like check them when I'm done. And then from there, like, for example, we're going to go back to these best photos of 2023. That was the goal for February.
Right.
That's it. And then, you know, I have something else for like corporate. So those are my 2 business related. But now I have that content that I have to break down. So now I'm going to use that content throughout the month to create my Instagram post. I don't post on Instagram every single day. I have a whole podcast about how that taught me nothing. So I post 2-3 times a week. I do try to schedule like, okay, if I'm going to post on a Monday, then the next one will be on a Wednesday. Like I try to give them like 48-hour space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just go and create weekly. So like on Mondays, I create my 2 or 3 posts for the week.
Oh, and right. You just batch it and then you schedule it out.
Correct. And well, I do it manually. I don't like.
Yeah, but at least you say, okay, I'm going to. Right.
Correct. I had my photo for the day. I have my caption and then that's it. And then I feel like I've done an amazing job of that. And then I do a lot of casual things throughout the week. Like all my Instagram stories, obviously, they're not as scheduled. Those are things that happen on the fly. As I am doing something, I'm like, okay, let me talk about this on Instagram stories. But the major thing has been a schedule. Now, for example, for reviews, I do try to do that once a month. So like I do my list and then that day I just go and I do all the reviews the same. Well, I'm not saying that correctly. I do 2 reviews or 3 per day.
Okay.
So I do 3 reviews. I wait 48 hours. I go and do another 3 reviews and that's it. Those are my 6 reviews for the latest wedding.
And that's amazing. Yeah. And I mean, it's working well, right?
It's a schedule on my workflow per se. After a wedding, I know that on Tuesday, you know, if I have a wedding on the weekend, Tuesday or Wednesday, not Tuesday or Wednesday. I have to wait until the gallery is delivered. So
obviously,
a month
yes.
after the wedding. So I have images that I can go and add to the review.
That totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. Oh. That's so genius.
So it seems like a lot of work and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is, but it's 100% doable for anybody. If you have kids, you can do that. You can compromise and be like, I have to do this for my business. And once a month, I have to do a major content creation that is going to attract more clients. And from that major content creation, I'm going to break it down into whatever you do, Pinterest, TikTok. I don't know what else is out there. You just like repurpose that content.
Yeah. And since you said the word Pinterest, I told you I've called you the Pinterest queen in the past. you still have your course happening, right?
I do have my class. You can join at any time. It's a self-paced Pinterest class, so you can join it. I have more. I have a master class that I did once for somebody else. And I have it on my on my Patreon. So if you just want to take a look at the master class and then from there, see if you want to do the whole course, you can do that. I have a lot of content out there for people. You can use, you can go to my podcast, over 200 episodes of free content.
Yes.
I have on my Patreon tutorials for content creation. Every month I post topics that you can use for content creation. So if you struggle with like, I don't know what to talk about, every month I give you a list of things that you can talk about and you can use that for blog posts or Instagram posts. I have tutorials on SEO on my Patreon. My Patreon has everything is a structure, but it has a lot of like different topics that you can take advantage of.
That's so good. And like talking about like how you give examples of topics for content. Mm-hmm. Let's take February as an example because we know February 14th is coming up, Valentine's Day. Like, what would you recommend? Because for a lot of people, We know proposals happen, people start looking. So, like, can
Well,
you
the
give people
thing,
a taste of like what they can do?
correct. The thing is, like, you should never wait until Valentine's to start thinking about Valentine's. That should have been something that you thought about in December.
This
So,
episode comes out a little too late, but for next year, think ahead, people.
let's talk about it. I'm gonna actually go to my Patreon for February. Let me open this.
Ooh, we get a sneak peek for
Got a
free,
sneak peek
people.
of this. Exactly. All righty. So let me
It.
go through February. Bear with me for a second.
All good. Take your time.
All righty. So in February, I talk about three major days that are really, is it three major days? Okay. So I talk about Galentine's Day, right? Which is when you celebrate with your girlfriends if you're
Yes.
single. So I talk about, like, this could be a really great idea to talk in your Instagrams about, like, bridesmaids, how
Ooh.
to ask your friends to become your bridesmaids, what to
Ooh.
wear as bridesmaids, what to do in your city for a bachelor celebration, gift ideas for your bridesmaids. So that is content that now you can take that idea and make it work for your brand, right? Whether
That's
you're luxury
genius,
or,
right?
budget, this can apply for anybody. Then obviously Valentine's Day. So I talk about best locations in your city to get engaged. Should you have an engagement session and why should you do that? What do you think, what to do with your engagement photos after you have a session? So all
Right.
those are topics that you can, dive into and create either blog posts, reels, things like that. Then February 20 is Love Your Pet Day. Why did I choose that day? Well, the majority of my clients are pet lovers. So that works for my brand, right? So I'd say content ideas for your blog or ID. Should you bring your pet to your engagement session? What to do if you bring your pet to your engagement session? If you can have your dog or your cat at your wedding, how could you involve its personality into your wedding so you can post ideas about,
That's genius.
XYZ things. If you can have your dog at your wedding, how to style your dog to be a part of your wedding party. So those are topics that you can literally talk about this for a while. Again, as you can see, if you wait until the day of to create this
Way
content, you're
too
gonna be
late.
overwhelmed, right? But like,
Yeah. But I love
so
how specific you're getting, and it really shows, number one, like they're not gonna be so many results, I would guess, with topics like this, but there will be people who are probably searching it. So you stand out
correct.
and you stand out to the type of clients that you're trying to attract. So, like, I feel like when you really know who you're trying to speak to, already by the time they land on your website, they're like pre-qualified inquiries that are more likely to build, to book. Do you feel like that's true, or do you feel like there are a lot of like also mismatches sometimes?
I don't get that many mismatches, but I do get people, even though I have all the information in there, and even though I have my starting price in there, there is sometimes people that is like, oh, you're out of our budget. How did we get here? My budget is there.
I guess
So,
like we can never 100% prove
no,
it,
you can't. And then also there is people that, and it happens to me also when I get, like, really excited about something that I see, right? And I'm like, oh my God, I definitely want it. And then I get on a call, or I really take a look at it, and I'm like, well, I'm not as excited now. So, I mean, that is just human
right?
nature, right? We
That's true.
cannot say that everybody that is going to land on our website is going to be our ideal client. But what we
No.
can do is generate enough content that once somebody lands on our website can be like, oh, I really like this, or be like, I don't like this, and at least minimize the amount of people that are really not your vibe, right? And then you
That's
can
true.
actually further do this during discovery calls. I think that's why I think discovery calls are really important, because on paper they can be your ideal client, and then when you talk to them, you're like, well, not really, and that's
Not.
also okay.
It's true. It's true. Like nothing is fully perfect, and we just
Correct.
try to get as close to it as possible. But before we wrap up, I just want to touch upon, just because we talked about Valentine's Day and all this, like that is obviously, time sensitive, and those are kind of specific types of content that people can create. But if you can touch upon like evergreen content that's very long lasting as
so,
examples, that'd be amazing.
Within this, there is content that are, don't talk about Valentine's Day, talking about like the best places to get engaged in your city. People get engaged all year long. They just not only get engaged on Valentine's. So that's going to be an evergreen content that you can go and actually add more locations as you discover new places in your city. Bridesmaids wedding day style ideas, that it's also evergreen content that you can actually go every year and update that, you know, because what it's trendy today might not be trendy in 2025, right?
Yeah.
Talking about what to do with your engagement sessions, with your engagement photos after your session, that is very evergreen because that's a lot of things that people don't know. They're like, why do I need an engagement session and what am I going to do with this photo? So if you give them five solid ideas, that might help your future clients be like, oh, I definitely need to book an engagement session. It's just giving me the why. If you talk about pets at your wedding, that is also very evergreen content. I think the only thing that is dated is if you said like 10 things to do in your city on Valentine's Day. That's going to be very specific just for Valentine's Day. But you can rephrase that and say 10 things to do in your city on a day night.
Yeah, I mean, you can just mix it up. And then, you know, I think I've understood, like, from researching, for example, SEO, like, it's important for a website to have, like, cornerstone content, which is, like, more detailed and going deep into it and it, and really choosing a topic that's really relevant to the type of clients that you're trying to book and to you as a photographer, and like going full out on those. But then these other blog posts or, you know, content that we generate, I think is just feeding into that ecosystem, right? Like
Correct. Keeping
things fresh and just adding more value on top.
Every vendor guide is a cornerstone content.
Is that? Oh yeah. Because those are like the venues that you actually want to
exactly.
Book.
So that's something, again, every single time that you get a wedding there, you go and update the photos, which noted for me, I need to go and update all the photos on my vendor guides. If something new at the venue happens, then you go and update that. If you find something interesting that you perhaps haven't spoken about, that you can go and update that on the guide. But those guides, if you write them correctly, are going to be good today, are going to be good in a year, and are going to be good in 5 years, because the location of the venue is not going to change.
No.
Right? Probably the restrictions that the venue has is not going to change. Probably the time that the venue closes at, that's not going to change. So that's going to, you know, be good. One thing that I write about on my venue guides is I cover pricing very general. I don't want to give a price once because that is not evergreen. Prices might change. And I don't think that is up to me, even though I might know how much it costs to get married there. I don't think that is up to me to say that on my website. But what I would say is like, this venue has different pricing on season than off season. This venue includes indoor pricing, the linens, the chairs, the tables. This venue, so those are things that are going to be most likely evergreen because they have been like designed by the venue to, you know, for revenue. But I also, every year, I send an email to the people at the venue. And I'm like, hey, I have this vendor guide. Let me send it to you. If something has changed, please let me know so I can update it. And obviously, and link to the actual venue and be like, if interested in booking this venue, contact susie@myvenue.com, whatever. You know, like, I give all that information to the visitor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when you're also informing the venue that you've written a guide, I mean, that is a nice ticket into getting into their vendor list, so to speak.
Oh,
right?
always send an email. And I my email is restricted, you know, to point like, hey, I love your venue. I photographed there before. I wrote this article and I hope this article helps you get new clients.
Yeah.
That's it. I never said
they're
like,
gonna love that.
Yeah. Then I was like, could you add me to your vendor list? Nothing. And then the reply most of the times is like, oh my God, we love it. We want to chat with you. If they don't have me on the vendor list, most of the time this is like an open door invitation for them to do that. And if not, I don't even get upset because I know I have written my blog post so good that I'm ranking even like below their venue. So I'm good.
So true. Like, but if it's a venue you haven't shot at, like, have you ever organized a style shoot specifically so that you can have like, you know, a couple that you have photographed in the venue just to add that imagery?
I haven't done it just because I don't like style shoots, but that's a great idea. I'm not, you know, against it.
For someone who doesn't like style shoots, you have one of my favorite ones that I love with
The Frida Kahlo.
Yeah, sorry, I just spaced out for a moment, but it turned out so good. It's so funny
because, quick note here, they approach me knowing that I don't like style shoots. They're like, Carolina, we know that you hate style shoots, but we have this idea. And because I want my couples to be very bold and I like a lot of color, I'm like, I don't like style shoots, but I do like the idea. So I'm going to use this content for content creation. Sometimes you have to bend the rules a little bit.
For real. Like, I mean, I barely do like these kind of, I never do extravagant style shoots or whatever. Mine are more like elopement style, going out there and shooting just because it's fun. But every now and then, if we're trying to be strategic, it just occurred to me, just makes sense maybe. It's worth it if it's going to get us those type of bookings. Which,
exactly. And then that gets you a connection with those vendors. Yeah. So a win-win for everybody, really. If you do it right, a win-win for everybody.
Carolina, it's been more of a masterclass than a podcast.
Stop.
Thank you so much. You're amazing. We already know about your podcast, your Patreon, your Pinterest, but you can tell us again and then tell us your socials where people can find you and learn even more. Please let us
know. Thank you. Well, you can find me at the Talk Republic, TOGRepublic.com. All the links are there to the podcast, to the classes, to the education. If you like it, come on over. Let's chat.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You've been an incredible guest.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode of My Wedding Season, the podcast. To be notified as soon as a new episode goes live, make sure that you subscribe. I'd love for you to write a comment or leave a review. Let me know what you want more of. For the show notes, head on over to www.wedding-photography-podcast.com. Cheering you on, and until next time.